Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 119. In verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Now, this psalm is dealing largely with the sufferings of God's people when they were in Babylonian captivity. And emphasis in this psalm is put on Ezra. Ezra was a young man when Israel went into captivity. That's why he said, how can a young man cleanse his way? It could just as easily be, how can a young woman cleanse his way? When you see something like, how can a young man do this? Or how can a man do that? You can easily fill in women. It's not really talking about a specific gender. It's talking about people in general. But he says, how can a young man cleanse his way? Now, Ezra had gone through it. For example, he saw the torture and the murder of his parents and of his friends. On the march to Babylon, he was absolutely brutalized physically by the Babylonian soldiers. They were extremely abusive. And Ezra, as a teenager, really had some incredible suffering in his life. And the suffering that people go through can leave its impact. It can have an effect. A lot of things can have an effect. Perhaps a difficult relationship can have an effect. A negative experience at school or maybe at work can have an effect. Things can have this lasting impact on us. Perhaps things that happen with somebody who was a good friend and that friendship falls apart. That can have an impact. That can have its effect. So Ezra is dealing with these things. And the question is, how can a young man cleanse his way? How can he be free from the impact that certain experiences have on him? And the answer is right there. By taking heed according to your word. It doesn't say taking heed to your word specifically. That's a given. But to deal with the impact, we take heed according to the word of God. In other words, we go to the word of God and we find, what does it say about this kind of a situation? We go to specific promises. We go to specific definition that God gives. We find out what God's heart and his attitude is towards certain types of things. For example, people who come from, let's say, broken families. Well, the Bible says that God is the father of the fatherless. So the effect that a young person may have if the family splits up, well, you consider it, you take heed according to what God says about it. According to the heart of God. In his word, God will always give you his heart. If it's not the heart of God, which is love, then it's really not the word of God. It may be the letter of the law. But when the Holy Spirit, who guides us in all truth in John 16:13, guides us in the word of God, he'll also guide us in God's heart, in God's attitude, in God's mood. And it'll always be established in the love of God and in the finished work of Christ. So we look at things always from the standpoint of the Word of God. We have to obviously possess the Word of God to do that, but then we have to apply it. Young people, learn to apply the Word of God in your life. The Word of God will be the best friend you ever had. It'll be the most valuable resource you'll ever have. It'll be the most valuable tool to equip you for any situation that you will ever have. Learn to apply the Word of God in your life, in specifics. It'll help you beyond measure. So Ezra's going through these things and he's asking this question, how can I deal with things? I look at them according to what the Word of God has to say about them. Now, there was something that Ezra learned. A lot of people who go through very difficult things learn this, and in fact, this is why difficult things happen in the first place, is to get them to learn this. Ezra knew the secret to God's love. We need to learn the secret to God's love too, because ultimately, if I'm going to look at things according to the Word of God, it'll have to be according to the love of God. If I'm going to do that, I need to know the secret to God's love. Now, when I say secret to God's love, it's really not a secret that somebody's trying to hide. But it's called a secret because not everybody knows it. God desires for people to know it, but to some people it's a complete mystery. But the beautiful thing about being a Christian is that you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and He reveals the mysteries of God to you as He guides you in those mysteries, in His Word. In Psalm 139:13, and this is a psalm that's written by David. David had gone through some pretty intense things himself. And he says, "You possess my reins," and that means my emotions. The Hebrew language didn't have any word for emotions. And so they used comparative words, things like reins. Because reins, you use those to steer a horse or a donkey or some animal. And people are often steered by their emotions. So he says, "You possess my reins. You covered me from my mother's womb." Now think about this. God possesses my emotions. And He covers me from my mother's womb. That means from the time before I was born, God had provisions for me. From the time before I was born, God knew what would affect me and how it would affect me. God didn't wait till I was around and received Him in time in order for Him to create a plan for your life. God created that long before you were born. And He knew you precisely long before you were born. And even when you were in your mother's womb, in other words, even when your mother was still just pregnant with you, He was already taking care of you. He was already providing for you. He already had established promises and provisions for you. And then David continues, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Fearfully doesn't mean with fear. Fearfully means like awesomely. The way that you created me, God, is absolutely awesome. It's wonderful the way you made me. And the reason is because we were made with a purpose. In Revelation 4:11, everything that is has a purpose, and that purpose is for the pleasure of God. Now, the pleasure of God doesn't mean like to make Him feel good. The pleasure of God is His satisfaction. God has to be satisfied with what happens, or it won't happen. God, who is love, has to be satisfied with the details of life for your life, or He won't allow them to happen. And in order for God to be satisfied with those details, they have to fulfill the purpose that He has for you. That's why in 2 Corinthians 4:15, all things are for your sake. Because God must be satisfied that those things sufficiently fulfill His love, His purpose, His hopes for you, His desires for you. Or He won't allow them. And then He says, "Marvelous are your works. And that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret." In other words, you knew everything even about my physical body, both as a baby in the womb, and then a baby when you come out, and then a baby when you're a toddler, and then when you get to be a young person, then a teenager, and then an adult and an old person. The whole time He knows absolutely every detail, even about the smallest minor things. parts of who you are physically, not just the plan for your life. And then he continues, and skillfully wrought in the lowest part of the earth, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they were all written. God pays such careful attention to your design, to the plan that he has for your life. There was such a carefully designed purpose for you that God wrote it down before you were even on earth. Before you were born, before your parents knew each other, before your grandparents knew each other, before anybody knew anybody, for that matter, before Adam and Eve existed, God wrote it down regarding you, because at that point he already knew you, and he knew you perfectly. He knew every thought that you would think, every thought that you do think. He knew absolutely everything about you. This is one of the silly things about when people try to hide something from God. God not only knows what you're hiding, God knew it before you hid it. God knew it before you did it. God knew it before you were born. God knew it before Adam existed. You never have to try to hide anything from God, because he already knows it in absolute detail, even better than we do. And then he said, the days fashioned me, and as yet there were none of them. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. And if I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Now consider something. In Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the thoughts that I think of you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Some translations say to give you a future and a hope. Now, the thoughts that God has, and he knows every single one of them, there's more of those thoughts than there are grains of sand on the earth. You go to the beach, how many grains of sand are there? Well, you could never possibly count it. And that's just one beach. There's many beaches. And that's not even talking about the sand that's under the water. Well, there's more thoughts that God thinks of you. There's more attention that God pays to you. There is more understanding of you in his thinking. The quantity is greater than all the grains of sand that exist on earth. This is how deeply and intricately God knows you. This is how much God is involved. This is how planned out your life is. This is how much he cares about you. That even the smallest thing, God has complete awareness of it by design. And the reason is because he loves you. In Jeremiah 31:3, he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. That means it's an eternal love. His love for you never started, it always was. We find in Genesis 2:7, if you look at the original language and the implications of those words to the finished work of Christ, that the love of God was the very reason why you were created and why the entire universe was created, so that you could receive that love. You see, this is what Ezra knew. Ezra knew how intimately and deeply and completely the God who loved him so much was involved in every detail of his life, even the unpleasant ones. Ezra, who wrote the book of Ezra, was given a tremendous privilege by God. And that privilege was born in the suffering that he endured. He actually wrote one of the books of the Bible. That's mind-boggling. There's not very many people who wrote the inspired Word of God, but Ezra was one of them. And that was God's plan for him, but his plan was such that he had to build a certain character inside of Ezra, and certain character requires certain challenges. The thing that was underlying the challenges the whole time was the love of God. The fact that God was completely in control of every one of those details, and that one of those challenges could go an ounce, not a fraction of an inch, farther than what was necessary, than what God would allow. Well, he's feeling the same way exactly toward you. God is exactly toward you the way that he was toward Ezra. God is exactly toward you the way that he was through any of them. David, God is exactly as faithful and is in love with and just as pleased with you as he was with David. God absolutely calls you the apple of his eyes and precious and beloved, just like he did with any person in the Bible. John the Apostle called himself the disciple that Jesus loved. You're also the disciple that Jesus loved. John's not different from you in that respect. Yes, John was used to write inspired scripture. That was his call, but you have a call also. Now, it's not to write inspired scripture, but it's just as valuable because it's a call from the same God on your life. The same God who loved John, the same God who loved Ezra and David, the same God who loved Moses and Abraham, the same God who loved Peter and the other disciples, that same God loves you every bit as much as any of those people. They weren't more important, they weren't more special, they weren't more precious. Just like them, he loves you. His heart toward you is the same as his heart was toward them. His faithfulness to you is the same as his faithfulness was toward them. His compassion and his mercy on you is the same as it was toward them. No difference at all. Because it's the same God. In Hebrews 13:5, in the second half of the verse, God says, not at all will I leave you, and not at all will I forsake you, never. Is there a time when you feel like maybe God's not as active in my life? Maybe I'm not getting the answers I'm hoping for. Maybe I don't feel his presence. Maybe I'm kind of wanting to do my own thing for a little while, and I'm really hoping in the back of my mind that God just leaves me alone for a little bit. Not completely, but enough so I can kind of wander off on my own and not have it have any bad consequences. God's not going to do that. He's not going to leave you in any way. He's not going to forsake you in any way. He's not going to give up on you in any way. He knows it all. And there's nowhere you can run from him. But you can run to him. There's never a time when you can't run to him. Sometimes people want to do things apart from him, and then they quickly get burned by those things. And in some cases, people will then feel, well, maybe I can't really take this to God because I knew I shouldn't have, and I did it on my own. And that's absolutely false. You can take it to God, you can run to him, you can trust him, you can come to him in whatever state you are in, you can always run to God. And his response toward you is going to be compassionate and kind. His response toward you is going to be patient. His response toward you is going to be merciful. His response toward you is that you are precious in his eyes, even in the worst circumstance or the worst you ever do in your life. you're still precious to Him. And you can still run to Him. And He'll still welcome you with open arms. Because He will always love you. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, all things are of God. And the reason is because He reconciled us to Himself in Christ. We became the one new man at the cross with Him. In other words, God took us, God took Jesus, and He made one person out of two people. So everything that happens in your life happens from the position of you are one person with Christ. That means that there's nothing in your life that can take place by accident because you're one person with God. Nothing surprises Him. Things surprise us because we don't see or understand or know as well and as clearly as He does. But we don't have to worry about that because our other half, if you will, isn't surprised by anything, has all power, all knowledge, all wisdom, all ability, and He's everywhere present. And so we can rest in that. Because in Romans 5:8, we are one person with the love of God, which was who Jesus was. Nothing can happen. Nothing will happen that God doesn't send. Yes, it may be difficult at times. Sometimes people wonder, how could God allow that? But we wonder, how can God allow that? Only because we don't understand the outcome. If something has to happen to bring something far greater, then that's not a high price. And some people do endure some tremendous suffering, just like Ezra did. But in the end, the suffering that he did endure couldn't compare to what God did for him as a result. Our lives are the same. God doesn't promise ease. He's not saying things are going to be quick. He's not saying things are going to be easy. He's not saying you're always going to get what you want. He does say you'll always have what you need. He does say He'll never leave you. He says He'll always be there for you and He will always provide for you. And He does say in the difficult times, there will be great reward and great outcomes. In John 16:27, Jesus said, "The Father Himself loves you because you have loved Me." Well, you loved Him in 1 John 4:19 because He loved you. And have believed that I am come forth from God. The Father Himself loves you. Understand that God on the throne, that's the God who loves you. God on the cross, He also loves you. And God living in you, He also loves you. As a result of all this love that God has for you, Ephesians 2:7 says, God will forever show you kindness. He'll show it to you in time. He'll show it to you as you're getting older. He'll show it to you when you're old. He'll show it to you when you leave the earth and you're in heaven. And once you've been in heaven for countless numbers of years, He'll still be showing it to you. He'll still be revealing kindness to you. He'll still be kind to you. He'll still be doing kind things for you. That will never end. Ezra knew these things. And that's why Ezra could endure pretty much anything. Because he knew the secret of God's love. You can endure everything too. The Word of God tells us that we can do all things through Christ. Because we receive the secret of God's love. And it's that love that won't leave you, no matter what happens. And if you know you're loved, you can handle absolutely everything. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to heaven when you die, if you would like to go to heaven when you die, and know without any question in your mind, based in the Word of God, He gave it to you as a gift. So simply thank Him for that gift. Pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for dying on the cross for me. I accept Your gift. I accept Your mercy. Save my soul and take me to heaven when I die. Amen.